Have you ever heard the phrase, excuses, excuses, excuses? It's one of those things I've been thinking about, and one of the reasons I think that phrase is so familiar with us is because we all have some. We at some point have made an excuse in our life, and that can go many different ways, right? We've got excuses for why we didn't get our homework done. We have excuses for why the job didn't get finished. We may have excuses for why the food wasn't prepared on time. You can go through the list, and we've all used an excuse at one point. I have just a short story. One of the worst excuses I ever used, I was asked to help clean by my mother. And I said, well, I can't clean today. It's Saturday. I've got homework that I got to get finished. I used that excuse, and you know what ended up happening? I did 4 hours of homework, and when I was finished, I still had to clean. I had no homework to do, but I use that as an excuse. We've done it before. I want you to think of that, and we think about the excuses in our physical world. We see them all around us every day. What kind of spiritual excuses are you using? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, what excuse are you holding on to? If you're not serving the life of a Christian, what excuse do you think is going to work? What excuse are you holding on to in your life that you need to put away? One of the interesting things when I think, especially those who've never obeyed the gospel, I've heard a lot of excuses, and they're all very sad when you sit and think about them. I wrote down just a few. I'll do it later in life. I want to have some fun first. I think we've all heard somebody that had that excuse. There were some things that they wanted to do in the world before they became a Christian, and that's just outrageous to hear someone give that excuse. I've heard the excuse, I haven't read the whole Bible yet. I got to read from Genesis to Revelation before I can ever become a Christian. Here's what you need to know to be a Christian. You need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You need to know that Christ came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, that He raised again on the third day, and that He is our King. And you have to follow those steps to become a Christian. All the rest of the Bible you can learn once you become a follower of Christ. That should never be an excuse that holds you back. And you could go on and on. I've heard people say, oh, I've sinned too much in my past. I can't become a Christian. I can't forgive myself. Well, that's the greatness of God. Even when you can't forgive yourself, God can forgive you. This evening, I want to take a look in Luke chapter 9, if you turn there with me, at just a few verses. I want you to notice in the first section, first two verses, Christ is going to teach a very important lesson. That lesson is, you need to count the costs of becoming a Christian before you do so. You need to realize the things you're going to have to give up in life to be a follower of Christ. And then we're going to take a look at two different people that had excuses to give Christ. I want you to notice Jesus' response to them. And as we read in Luke chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 57. We're going to read verses 57 and 58 first. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But you notice in the first verse, this person knew who Jesus was. He says, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, wherever it is that you take apart, wherever, whatever land you go, wherever you take yourself, I will follow you to that end. This person had devotion and word. But what we notice in verse 58 in Jesus' response is, he had it in word, but he didn't have it in deed. I want you to notice there at the end. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What Jesus is getting at is he says, count the costs. If I don't have a place to lay my head, you're not going to have a place to lay yours. This person was in word only. He wasn't going to follow Christ in the full devotion that it took. One of the interesting things when you take a look at other people who followed Christ, you take a look at Peter. What's one of the first things Peter's it's told to him is, follow me. And he leaves everything right then and there. He leaves his fish nets. He leaves the boat, and he follows Christ right there. One of the last things that's told to Peter is, follow me, in John chapter 21. It's full devotion. You don't get to pick and choose. Whatever it is this man had, Christ could see inside of him. He knew there was something holding him back from being completely devoted. Is that something you're holding on to? Are you not fully devoted to Christ, just like this man was? So we move on. I want to look at the excuses. These are the best part. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Notice in verse 59, he says, I want to follow you, Lord, but let me go first bury my father. Something that I've been reading in the commentaries, just an interesting thought. Do we know in this passage if his father's even dead yet? That's just an interesting thought a commentary brought up. But even for the case that his father is dead, so we take a look in the Jewish culture, the Jewish customs, they would have mourned the death of a person for days, weeks, months even. And this person's trying to give an excuse to Christ of why he can't follow him today. He says, I want to follow you, Lord, but let me handle this first. Let me take care of this first. And Jesus' answer is perfect to this man. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. The excuse didn't stand for this man. Jesus says, let those who are spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Those who aren't going to listen to the gospel, let them bury your father, but you go preach the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that. That is a stipulation of being a disciple of Christ, is preaching about the kingdom. The kingdom is here. It's the church. Are there excuses that you're using today of why you're not going out and teaching others about Christ? Excuses won't stand. It didn't stand when Christ walked the earth. It certainly won't stand as he's going to judge the earth. So we move on, though, looking at verse 61 and 62. Notice this last excuse someone gives the Lord. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This person, again, shows a desire to follow Christ, but it's not a full desire. There's something else standing in his way. And again, we in the 21st century say, well, that's a normal response, right? You'd want to bury your father first before you left. You'd want to go say goodbye to your family. But I want you to think of it in first century terms. As we looked at the last one, have you ever considered if he went back home and he tells his wife and tells his children, I'm going to follow Jesus around. It might take months, it might take years. Don't you think his family might have tried to talk him out of it? And many a times that's what happens to many people in this world. They're talked out of becoming followers of Christ. And Jesus gives the perfect response when he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I haven't done a lot of farming, but I have worked in a garden before, and I've used a rototiller. So many of you probably have worked one before. How good are you at a rototiller if you're looking back always? You're not gonna plow anything straight. You're going to be all over the place. And that's really the message Jesus is giving. How focused can you be on me if you're thinking about what you left behind? I want you to notice very quickly with me the dedication that the disciples had with Christ. If you'd look at Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 28 through 30. And I'm going to be quick with this. But I want you to notice this is right after the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. The one thing that's standing in his way is money. And I want you to notice what the disciples had to say to Jesus. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in the present time and the age to come eternal life. You've got to weigh the risk and the reward. And certainly the reward in Christ is worth it in the end. Obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian is far better than anything you'll ever see in this earth. So we take a look back at Luke chapter 9. I have hope. And as we look at Luke 10, verse 1, we don't know if these three that gave excuses to the Lord were a part of these 70, but I certainly hope so. It reads in Luke 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. We don't know if these three were a part of that number, but what I can tell you today is that same invitation is there for you. Jesus is saying, follow me. One of my favorite passages is the bride and the groom say, cometh, in Revelation. Jesus is still giving his invitation to all who will hear, all who will obey. This evening, are you going to leave behind your excuses? I want you to think very quickly with me. Think of the excuse that's holding you back from becoming a Christian. I want you to think about whatever it is that you think is going to keep you out of eternity in hell. I want you to think of that excuse and say, and think to yourself also, will that stand on the judgment day? Will I stand before God, and will I stand before Christ and use that same excuse, and do you think it'll work? Because I can tell you it won't. This evening, if you're having excuses, put them aside and become a Christian before it's everlasting too late. Might be the case that you once became a Christian, but you fall back and you're using excuses again. Don't keep them in your way. Put them away as we stand and as we sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. Be seated, please.